Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. Today we welcome the Unchained co-founders, Dhruv Bansal and Joe Kelly. Dhruv, Joe, great to have you.
Stoked to be here.
All right, let's start with Unchained. So Unchained is our lead sponsor here at the Bitcoin Layer. They're a full suite Bitcoin financial services provider. Today, my goal is to explain to you guys at home what is Unchained, what they are all about, and why we decided to link up with Unchained for more than just a sponsorship, but a true business relationship. So let's pass it to you guys. Joe, why don't you tell us what Unchained is all about? Where did it come from? And why did you choose to build this company?
You got it. Unchained, we really have this North Star of delivering financial services to long-term Bitcoin holders. And getting there, discovering that North Star was a process of, you know, really goes back to Dhruv and my long-term relationship. So we've been working together, we've been friends, buddy pals for 15 years plus at this point. We started a business together around 2009 that we sold 4 years later and started to get more and more interested in Bitcoin and decided to work on that next. And so, yeah, I think there's this context of Dhruv and I are prepared to work on this, you know, work together for a lifetime, you might say. And so then I think that really sets a lot of the context for how I think about people, how I think about dealing with people with a long-term basis, long-term in mind. And I think that really dovetails, that fits like a glove with kind of Bitcoin or low time preference.
Dhruv?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of connections back to our old business that informed the way we thought about Unchained. I think our old business was very much in the enterprise technology space. We sold to large businesses. It was a relatively short duration company, I think 3 to 5 years all in. I think while we were building the company, we understood our goal as, trying to sell the company. That was a big part of what we actually actively wanted. And when we started the company, we were just in love with technology. We were so convinced that the technology that we were working on was so valuable because we were so interested in it. So, I mean, I'm glad and proud of both Joe and I and all the folks that worked with us at that company for the fact that we, in some sense, rescued ourselves from certain bad ideas and bad assumptions. I don't think that company, we made, I think, some poor decisions based on not listening to customers, not looking at what customers wanted, trying to actively build to get sold as compared to building long-lasting value and strong relationships with our customers. But hey, we were first-time entrepreneurs, and this is what we thought building technology companies looked like. Having gone through that experience, which on the whole was really positive, I don't want to try to diminish it. When we kind of approached Unchained, I think we took a very different tactic, right? The most important thing to us was, what is the client? Who is the client? What's their pain? Why are they paying us for something? And that's sort of an obvious question to ask, but I think too many people don't ask that question, even entrepreneurs. We certainly weren't focused on that in our first business, but when Unchained from the beginning, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. And that gave us, I mean, that experience gave us that we saw it happening in 16, 17, that cycle of the whole blockchain, not Bitcoin narrative, which is kind of how you sound as smart or like considered, you know, among other financial people or other smart investors. But you could just see through it based on our experience, because it was like, who is the customer? And the idea that the customer is the long-term Bitcoin holder. It's not, let's try to take, you know, put real estate on the blockchain or do something else or take this technology in search of a problem. It was like, no, those customers are long-term Bitcoin holders, and it's going to take the rest of the world, the rest of the financial services, a very long time to catch up to be able to do that, to even just feel comfortable admitting that that's a market they should do something for. And then furthermore, yeah, I think another insight was that just because it's a new technology base, and then this gets at the philosophy of how we build products at Unchained, that the traditional financial services are going to be captured by this innovator's dilemma of how to approach Bitcoin financial services in a Bitcoin native way, we'd say, while they're stuck in kind of a very legacy model.
And the long-term... go ahead, Dhruv.
Just to follow up on that point, you know, it's kind of like I feel a lot of the ICO mania and altcoin stuff, like what's the problem that the person is trying to solve? It's like, I just wish I had more money. You know what I mean? This seems like a speculative thing I can get into. That's exciting. And for a lot of people, that's why they first get into Bitcoin as well. That's probably fair to be said. But to Joe's point, the long-term Bitcoin holder, someone who's held Bitcoin for a number of years, who intends to hold it indefinitely, who intends to pass it on to their grandchildren because they really believe in Bitcoin as the future of the world's money. This person actually does have problems. They have pains. They have security concerns. They're worried about credit. They don't want to sell Bitcoin, but they might need some liquidity. They're thinking about retirement and tax savings. They're thinking about inheritance, right? These are all real problems. And instead of thinking about speculative new tokens and how many more, you know, pump and dump cycles we can kind of profit from as a as an exchange or something like that, we really focused in on if you really believe in the long-term value proposition of Bitcoin, who are you? What are your problems? How can we solve them? And because ultimately, that's who we are. Joe and I both are Bitcoin holders of a number of years, a decade or more, who really do believe in the long-term success of Bitcoin and its importance in the world. So we're looking, we've sort of built a business catering to people who are like us and have our problems. And I think that's also been good for product because we understand those problems really well, right? We have the same problems and we're able to build products that we're proud of, that we use, that our clients also love.
Absolutely. And I'm also a long-term Bitcoin holder, so that's why I understand the business. And Dhruv, you and I go back to the first days after I wrote my first Bitcoin piece in 2018. That's how we met. And from then, I could see that there's this industry professional out here. He's a scientist, so someone who doesn't have the same background as I do. So someone I can look to learn from because we don't share necessarily the same field. Not that I don't learn from people in my own field, but you as a technology forward scientist, I read your work and I understood something new about Bitcoin. And then I looked at the company that you had founded and I said, wow, this is a company that understands the problem. And that's exactly what you guys are saying. So the reason that I'm so excited about being part of Unchained with the Bitcoin layer is that it's not just the long-term Bitcoin holder that you guys cater to, but the prospective long-term Bitcoin holder.
That's a great
way to put it. And that's who I'm trying to teach with my content and the work that I'm doing. Because yes, I teach global macroeconomics and how to understand markets as they exist. But I also teach the reason why you should have Bitcoin in your portfolio because of many of the things that happen in the global macroeconomy, including the way that money is created in the banking system, which, you know, is my area of focus. So my point here is
not my area of focus at all. And I've really enjoyed our conversations because that's something that I've really learned from you. And money is incredibly complicated, it turns out.
It is. And I'm slow playing Dhruv, so the audience knows I'm slow playing Dhruv with a lot of my research right now because it's getting stuffed into that second book that is almost done. But this is my passion, right? I want to teach people how the system works, why it's broken, and why you need Bitcoin because of it. But then where do you send them? And that is what makes me excited about linking up with Unchained, because it's somewhere we can send them that is full suite. So people might be familiar with our former sponsor, which is a tremendous Bitcoin company, but they are a brokerage. So they facilitate buying and selling. They're excellent at that. We still believe that they are excellent at that. You guys, however, provide the full suite. So get into that, get into the retirement side because IRAs are important. Get into security because Bitcoin is tough for older people. Let's just call it what it is. It's a technology. Does your parent call you for help when they're doing an upgrade, changing devices? Yes, your parent calls you because they need help touching the technology. So Bitcoin should be understood as that, and it will present a challenge to older people. So sorry for the little rant, but I'll turn it over to you guys. What are your thoughts about this full suite and where we've circled this conversation?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple things to hit on there. One is that, as you say, Bitcoin's a technology. It's a new technology. Or at least maybe it's you know, old technologies, but bundled together and built on top of to give us this great monetary asset. And so there are those kinds of barriers, sometimes of entry or education to using any new technology. And a lot of how the industry's evolved, or as people are very familiar and comfortable with names like Coinbase, that experience, a customer experience, looks like a brokerage, looks like a traditional brokerage in the sense of like a Schwab or Fidelity account. You log in, you have username, password. There's like beneficiaries you can designate in there. There's maybe people you can call for help. Your assets are in there. You watch them go up or down, make buying and selling decisions, and withdraw money. So that's a very comfortable experience. You don't have to help, you know, a family member or older or younger otherwise with that once they kind of get down once. but Bitcoin introduces this concept of keys, and keys have existed, and we've had encryption and encrypted email and things like that for decades. But now there's that real incentive. Now something is worth a lot of value, and there's a risk. You know, people have gotten burned leaving assets, leaving Bitcoin on centralized exchanges and at custodians. Those accounts get taken over perhaps by a third party, or even something happens at the exchange or custodian themselves, and it's gone, and it's gone for good. So things like understanding private key management and going down the path of taking on control of your private keys, there's a much greater incentive to going down that path as an individual, and a lot of good logic to it and wisdom. Bitcoin. So that's something a lot of people had realized. We're seeing even before we started Unchained around 2016 and 17. But once you do force yourself, you put those risks on the table for you to consider, then you take private key management really seriously. And we did too in our early journey at Unchained. And that's how we started to architect our financial service, architect our product to use something called multi-sig cold storage. That's really the safest, the most redundant, the most kind of tolerant of any error risk to the loss of funds as to how we would custody anything that Unchained dealt with. And then part of the journey was realizing, recognizing that this was really still not a solved problem for like the rest of the market and the rest of customers out there that were long-term Bitcoin holders. And they needed something kind of easier to use, something that could bring in more of that look and feel of kind of like a brokerage interface, along with the people you can call and the experts that can educate you and hold your hands. That's kind of there. Unchained really has never compromised from the beginning on security. You know, really, really pegging ourselves to this idea that the best form of security is multi-sig cold storage. And then we work our darndest to build the products and the services and have the people here that make that as easy and convenient as possible.
I might
and
just add
Dhruv,
that.
Go ahead. I want to also ask you, like, why multi-sig, if you can work that into your answer as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can get into it. Yeah. And I think I want to, you know, especially for those who might be newer to Bitcoin in your audience who aren't yet maybe purchasing it and on their own, or maybe have only purchased it through an intermediary, like an exchange where, as Joe was describing, usually you think of it as just another kind of number in your account and you log in and it's kind of like, for folks like that, I think it's important to remind them that like Bitcoin is special in a big way because of the fact that there are private keys involved, right? Like, why is Bitcoin valuable? It's not because it's digital, right? Money has been digital for decades now. It's because there's no one in charge of it, because it's decentralized, that somehow, despite lacking a central authority, which can be captured or corrupted or knocked out and have the system go down, it doesn't have that point of failure, right? And the cost for that, there's a few costs, but one of the major costs is that we as individuals who engage with the Bitcoin network do so directly. And in some sense, we defend ourselves and we assert our own control over Bitcoin directly, as compared to having institutions exert control over an asset on our behalf, right? I often like to say that in Bitcoin or in traditional finance, there's a very strong concept of ownership, but very little control. But Bitcoin reverses that, that in Bitcoin, there really isn't a concept of ownership, because Bitcoin doesn't know who we are. The only thing that matters in Bitcoin is who controls the coins. And that control is created through cryptography, through the ownership of private keys. And so in the earliest days of Bitcoin, everybody had to engage with private keys. So the only people who were capable of working with Bitcoin were people who understood that idea and could work with software and were pretty computer savvy, right? The cypherpunks and the early technologists. Since then, exchanges and other, you know, online systems have made it much easier, and they've reduced the problem to what Joe describes, which is you just log in with your username and password, and there you go. But that conceals the power and the specialness of Bitcoin, and then it creates this terrible honeypot opportunity for attackers, right? Both to attack the centralized exchange or custodian themselves and steal everybody's Bitcoin at once, which has happened innumerable times in the history of Bitcoin, or to attack individuals and to create account takeovers. You know, if you're Coinbase and you have hundreds of millions of clients worldwide, it's very difficult to monitor perfectly for every single client that their account hasn't been taken over. And since the client doesn't really have any keys of their own, you're really relying on your account security to protect their balances, and that gets compromised routinely. It's probably of note that if you go onto the dark web and you look for stolen credentials, one of the most valuable stolen credentials that you can find on the dark web is Coinbase credentials, because there's high belief from the attacker community that if you can get into somebody's Coinbase account, you will be able to extract Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies. So this all sounds terrifying. This sounds like the future of the world's money is fundamentally insecure somehow. And I think that was one of the challenges when Joe and I were building a business. We sort of understood the importance of private keys, but we also understood how important this custody idea was. And we were very nervous relying on a third party to custody the Bitcoin that Unchained would be building financial services on top of. You know, what if they got attacked? What if our accounts got taken over? What if they prevented us from accessing our accounts, right? Just censoring us from our balances for whatever reasons. You know, in those early days, it wasn't really clear that the rules maybe weren't as clear, right? So there was a lot of risk in these areas. And that's why we invested early on, as Joe said, in building our own internal systems. Unchained would manage our own private keys. But that need alone would just turn us into another custodian, right? We would just become another version of a Coinbase or some of the other names in the industry that protect Bitcoin on behalf of other people. We wanted to move beyond that. And I think what's so powerful about Bitcoin is it's not just digital money that's protected by keys. It's programmable. We can build, I think the altcoin community, you know, has this word smart contract. That's not quite true in Bitcoin. We can't write arbitrary conditions into the way that we programmatically access Bitcoin, but we can write some conditions. And one of the most useful conditions we can program into our Bitcoin custody is, hey, the three of us have to work together in order to move these Bitcoins. It's not just one private key. There's going to be multiple private keys, and some number of them are going to be required before we can move Bitcoin around. And that's just the idea of multisig. Bitcoin has had multisig baked in from almost the beginning of its history. Most custodians who are protecting Bitcoin, even on behalf of others, are often internally using some kind of multisig or at least multi-party type approach to protecting that Bitcoin. This idea was around for a while. Unchained's, I think, innovation, along with some others in the industry, has been to extend from multisig to this concept of collaborative custody, right? Which is a phrase that really means, okay, take those multiple keys and spread them out amongst multiple people or multiple parties, multiple companies, in a way that makes sense with the financial product you're trying to build. So an Unchained's most common and probably well-used product is our Vault product. And in our Vault product, a client wants control over that Bitcoin, but they want maybe some help and some redundancy provided from Unchained. And so what we do is we build a 2 out of 3. It's called 2 keys are required, 3 keys are present, 2 out of 3 collaborative custody vault for that client. The client will typically hold 2 of those private keys. And we can talk in a minute about how does a person even hold a private key. It's not something you can really grab in your hand, right? It's a piece of information. But the client will typically hold and operate 2 of those private keys, and Unchained will operate the 3rd. And that's exciting because now, since it's 2 out of 3, the client can use their 2 keys to do whatever they want. They're completely unconstrained by Unchained. We couldn't stop them. We couldn't lock them out of their account, even if we tried. They're always going to have access to their Bitcoin because they're directly able to interact on chain with their 2 private keys. But, and this is the important part, if they lose one of those private keys, in a world where they were just operating on their own, they would have lost their Bitcoin. And that's part of what drove people to use exchanges in the first place, is protecting a private key perfectly is really hard, right? But in this model, if they lose one of the private keys, it's not the end of the story. Of course, they can reach out to Unchained. There are still 2 private keys left, theirs and Unchained's. And together we can author a transaction to save those coins, you know, set them up in a new wallet with a similar structure. Unchained has saved thousands of Bitcoin for many, many, many people who have lost their keys over the last 8 years. And I feel that's one of the things I think we're most proud of at Unchained, is that we have, you know, literally saved fortunes. So that's exciting. But that's not the only configuration, right? Unchained also has some credit products in which the keys are configured slightly differently. And that creates different rules of control that are better matched to the credit product. So for example, if in our lending product, if the borrower is not going to have 2 out of the 3 keys, they'll only have 1. So they have some representation and some control. They have a strong ability to cryptographically verify everything that we're showing them. That massively increases security. But obviously, they can't walk away with the collateral, right? So that's a different financial product, slightly different arrangement. We're exploring now some really exciting new options that are allowing clients who are excited about this idea, who value they've understood the value of private keys. They're maybe not ready to protect two private keys on their own, because again, we can talk in a minute maybe about what that involves. It's a bit of work. Maybe they only want to protect one. And so we're creating products that allow, you know, for more flexibility now, even in our vault and retirement structures, so that clients can have as few or as many private keys as they're comfortable with, which we hope is going to extend the reach of our product, as you say, to prospective long-term Bitcoin holders as well, right? Folks who are earlier on their journey of adoption.
I think to tie something together just between how Unchained's journey in spelling out collaborative custody and doing this, there's kind of a fork in the road in my mind that we faced, and any financial services company approaching Bitcoin kind of faces, is do you allow control of the clients? Do you allow control by the clients of their assets, or do you not? Are you centralized custody? Because custody is still a fact of the matter, still a fact to be dealt with any financial asset. And our approach that says we don't just capture it here, that's a divergence from traditional business models in financial services. It means we've had to be more creative in other ways. But it's also been part of our promise, or one of our most well-adapted features at Unchained. And it builds a lot of trust with clients, and it builds a trust because we've helped them for the first time maybe hold their own keys. We've helped them actually for the first time feel really confident in their multi-sig security setup, feel like it's something that will last until, you know, basically the rest of their lifetime. And then their families have a place to go. As long as they have one of those other keys that the client holds, that they can go to Unchained and we can assist with those kind of inheritance scenarios. So that's really there. And then we wrap those things. We really bring in things that we are all still used to and need in traditional financial services. You mentioned IRA accounts. I mean, that's what's fundamental there is it's a box that some institution reports what goes in and out of that box to the government. And that fact, that by nature of that happening, that creates a tax advantage status for the assets in that box, in that account. Now, this, you know, how those assets are custodied, that may be just less relevant. What has to be relevant is that somebody can, you know, testify, as we can, and like in our records show, and it's also on the blockchain, so the blockchain is also containing those records too. What went in and what went out of that box, there's limits. There's things that are kind of in place around amounts per year that can go in and out. But yeah, at that point, we're kind of record keepers and, you know, IRS reporting, you know, partner for clients. Well, they get to hold their own keys and still have that direct control of the assets in an IRA. And you've seen in the industry, some of these IRA providers get hacked, have real losses, have issues, whether it's Prime Trust or some of these other supposedly, you know, trustworthy entities that have failed in their duty of care to assets. And so this is kind of one way clients can remain outside of those kinds of risks and just have that comfort, because many of them are already holding their own keys anyways. But it's this bridge of things that are true financial products that, because of the U.S. and society we live in, you want this partner that can talk to the government and keep those records for you.
Can you clarify that promise for us? Do you mean that Unchained has promised to not be a single key custodian on behalf? Is that part of the business model, or is that not part of the business model? Do you guys offer that sort of non-multi-signature custody solution so that people can understand?
Yeah, no, I mean, pretty much everything will offer wherever possible, and every flavor of financial product will have a multi-sig element to it. We do think about, or we look at, like, you know, other convenient on-ramp solutions for people that can have something like a full custody experience. When I mentioned promise, I kind of mentioned, I mean, yeah, to the degree it's a regulated trust company, seemingly, you know, the promise there is they're going to keep your stuff safe, and they failed. You know, there's been examples of these companies that have hit headlines and things like that, where there's a real loss there, like private keys are mismanaged, something happened, whether it was fraud or embezzlement or just malpractice and mistakes kinds of things. But institutions like a trust company should be able to trust to hold assets for, you know, IRA, you know, haven't come through on that in the industry historically.
I mean, I'd just like to highlight, I feel like that's, again, something that Bitcoin just makes much more pernicious as a mode of failure, right? Like in the more traditional financial systems, if a particular a bank or company that you're relying on in the supply chain of how all your you know, assets are stored and managed and traded fails, it doesn't always mean, or it in fact doesn't typically mean, that your assets are somehow gone, right? There may be a time period of adjustment and stewardship and transfer in which you don't have maybe as much access as you might like, but the idea that all your money would just be gone is not something that most people are worried about in that situation. As a result, they're much more willing to create single points of failure, right? Companies or banks or providers upon whom they're 100% reliant for almost all their financial transactions and activity, that if that entity were to, let's say, to totally disappear and there's no way to communicate with them, or if they were to be shut out from those accounts, that would be a real hardship. In Bitcoin, unfortunately, if you replicate that model where people do rely on these single parties and they fail, it can actually create the loss of coins. And again, that seems like a crazy outcome and a weakness in Bitcoin's design, but it's the cost that we're paying for the power of a decentralized money that no one can manipulate. The solution to the problem is not to identify the most trustworthy entities based on, let's say, longevity in market, and then just 100% trust them indefinitely going forward. The solution is to avoid single points of failure. And I think that's what Unchained's model is. We don't want to pretend that any entity can be perfect. And the fact that a particular entity was hacked or compromised or had a business process failure or whatever is not automatically damning of that entity. Like, every organization eventually has security failures. The NSA has security failures. Google has security failures. It's really, really hard to be perfect. But if you're not a single point of failure, your failure does not necessarily cascade into the loss or failure of the systems that depend upon you. And it certainly doesn't translate into the loss of people's wealth and life savings. And so I think Unchained, in particular, by embracing the Bitcoin philosophy and designing our products to, from the ground up, not have single points of failure, I think we actually create a healthier model for, like, all of finance to operate on. You know, and traditionally there wasn't an incentive to do this. It was probably a greater incentive to build walled gardens. But now I think, I hope that more organizations, as Bitcoin grows and becomes a, you know, multi-trillion dollar asset class, will realize the danger of single points of failure and then choose voluntarily, as we have done, and as our clients continue to do, to embrace a model like ours that avoids that problem.
I think incentives are a good point to bring up too, because I think part of what exists in the traditional financial services model is, once you do centralize the assets, and then now you want your business to earn more money, or you have pressures to do that, like, your incentive is to now do something with those client assets. It's called rehypothecation in other contexts, but where you might be lending out someone's funds or assets. You know, even at a Schwab account, this happens. Your securities in there might be subject to, like, being lent out to short sellers, and, you know, you might not see a dime of that. That might just all go to Netflix. That might all go to Schwab's brokerage revenues. But that's what happened. That's that last generation of companies like BlockFi and Celsius and Genesis, was really this commingling of both centralized custody and a lending-based model that had this incentive to do things, do creative things with client assets. And a lot of people got burned. That's a veritable graveyard of firms that had those kinds of incentives and that slope they went on.
That's an excellent point. And I think that you guys at home are hearing the answer to the question, why multi-sig? With all of these answers, the not having a single point of failure, not having the risk of loss, not having commingled funds, not subjecting yourself to rehypothecation without either permission or knowledge or compensation. All of these aspects support the practice of multi-sig. So my next question is pretty specific. What is the average? And let me first say this. I've walked the halls of your office in Austin multiple times, and I've had conversations with people about saving Bitcoin. And those are the best conversations. It's their favorite part of their job. I know that for a fact. It brings them enormous smiles. It gives you lifetime customers. And it is something special. So I can vouch for this activity that you guys are part of in helping people save their Bitcoin. My question is, prospective clients that come to you and they say, hey, I have a single sig set up, meaning I have my own Bitcoin in custody, but I think I should be doing multi-sig because I have a family, etc., whatever the reasons are. walk me through it. And so my question to you is, that prospective client that comes to you, what is the average time, maybe length of courting the client, days, weeks, hours, from convincing them that you should be in a multi-sig from a single sig setup because it's healthier and safer for you and your loved ones? How long does that process take? And how often does the person say, you know what, I'm going to stay single signature because that's the best thing for me? And do you guys support that decision in certain circumstances? It's a long question.
Yeah, I can kind of offer some of the answer is, multi-signature is one way to create more redundancy and security and avoid single points of failure. It's a particularly good way for multiple collaborators to engage in because it can be done asynchronously. Different signatures and different setups can happen over days or weeks as you travel from location to location where people communicate. So it's just a really good tool for the kind of thing that we're building. I don't want to imply that single sig is somehow like fantastically unsafe or a bad idea. The majority of Bitcoin, I believe, in the world today is probably still custodied by individuals and small businesses and entities in a single sig manner using hardware wallets like Ledgers and Trezors and so on. It's actually something that brings me hope is that most of the coins are not held by centralized custodians or exchanges at all. So I don't want to portray single sig as somehow a bad idea. But I will say that achieving redundancy and avoiding single points of failure in a single sig scenario requires expertise. And typically single sig also implies single person. Not always, but typically. And a single person is inherently a single point of failure, right? How many people who are Bitcoiners who are proud of their single sig setups and their steel plates they put their backup systems onto and all their great solutions for protecting their, like, how robust are those systems to death, right? Or incapacitation of you yourself? That's a really scary question. And most people don't like to think about it because mortality is terrifying, but it is something to think about, especially as the numbers start to increase. I think multi-sig is a great tool for making it easier for passing Bitcoin on to your loved ones in the event of your death. I think Unchained, as a professional company that helps set up and participates in multi-sig setups, and then has software and a platform for engaging in authenticated communication amongst the parties, and has a professional duty of care to make sure that these funds transition over for our clients, this is a really good partner. Now, again, you can achieve multi-sig on your own. Open source software, some of which Unchained has written, is something anybody can use for free to set up these systems. Again, you have to have more technical expertise. I think the greatest value Unchained provides is not only the multi-sig concept or technology or platform, but the service, right? I'm really proud of our onboarding and support teams, our account managers. These are people who are educating folks about single sig, multi-sig, self-custody. They're making it easier for people to transition into using these products, perhaps sometimes for the first time. And they're ensuring that the experience is something you feel confident about, right? And I want to come back to your question about time. It's not really, in my view, an amount of time that it takes us to like onboard or convince somebody from single sig to multi-sig. So most of the time is actually education on how the systems work. And I would say probably more of our effort that we're spending on convincing is really convincing people who aren't even in Bitcoin yet to come on board because, hey, we have a safe solution. I think for a lot of people, they're actually interested in making a Bitcoin investment. They're just completely terrified and unclear as to how to do so safely. And so a big part of what we're doing is for new entrants in the market is saying, hey, just jump over all the bad ideas, start here at the end of the journey, and trust us to educate you to be able to do this collaboratively with us. I think, Joe, you had a comment you wanted to make.
Yeah, only just that I do think, even more directly, so people kind of have different tiers when they come to us. Some go down a completely self-onboarding kind of path, and they can go, you know, zero to full account and have their vault funded within a day. And we have a really great do-it-yourself guide that's like we've honed in. It's got the hardened, you know, hard-won experience from what we've seen with onboarding thousands of people to this. And so that's one route people take. The other is through our concierge service where people can book a call. It's usually between 60 to 90 minutes. Somebody here who, again, is not likely to have done hundreds, if not, we have probably somebody who's done like 1,000 or 1,000 onboardings now throughout their career at Unchained. So somebody just kind of can answer every question, seen it all, can advise you on where and how to store your hardware wallets and the artifacts. To then, you know, other very even like more white glove services that like maybe it's not just one call you need, you want several calls, right? And you want that same person to be the one you can call a month later or 2 months later when you have other questions or issues, or kind of be there with you. So Those are the tiers really we have. And I'd say anybody from like a sales prospect though, the typical journey is probably like 2 to 4 weeks. They come in, they talk to maybe a salesperson, get that early familiarity, and then if they're booking concierge call and going through setup, that 2 to 4 weeks about an average.
What do you guys want to leave with the audience about what you're representing, what kind of company you're building, the customers that you're looking to attract? Because we're not trying to, listen, we are not trying to push people into services that aren't right for them. We're presenting them these options, and we feel like the emotion behind your collaborative custody is the right, it's the right approach that aligns with the way that we're teaching Bitcoin. We want to teach Bitcoin in a self-custody way, meaning you have to understand it's a technology that has private key, a private key component to it, which requires responsibility. And then, of course, all the financial components to Bitcoin and what it represents. So, what do you want to tell people about what you guys are building?
I think there's something to, but that's kind of the realness, like the hardness of the technologies around Bitcoin and the kind of very factual base. I mean, it's not a hype thing, and we're not here trying to sell overly hype things that you've seen just kind of in the broader crypto industry over years. I think it's about the kind of real practical stuff, and then it's also about real relationships. We do recognize that their history of financial services, something that is there, is people like doing business with people they like doing business with people that share values. And so I think for Unchained to really kind of set our anchor on a very Bitcoin-centric approach, a Bitcoin-only approach, as a team and people and like collective, that shines through in really probably every customer interaction anyone would have with us. And that's it's further, we brought this kind of connections feature. I mean, that really gets it. I was the most proud product launch I've seen us do, because it's real families holding keys together. It's their grandparents' fault that the grandson is holding a key along with a chain for the grandparent, and that has all kinds of great effects. That may help someone making a poor sell decision, just emotionally maybe, but also just fraud, anti-fraud measures, good social protections if somebody's telling you need to move or sell your Bitcoin, but then it's not a real representative or somebody that was legit. Like there these extra protections are ways that people are going to keep these assets safe and in ways that are in harmony with like the real social networks and the real relationships that are out there. So it's kind of one of the ways we think about how we're set up to work with our clients and be in relation with our clients over the long term.
And I'm thrilled that, we are both of our companies have this Bitcoin-centric approach, and we're trying to rebuild the financial world through Bitcoin's eyes, because it's not through our eyes. It's a technology that we all use, and we agree on the rules of it. And so, that's, I think, what we're all trying to build at the Bitcoin layer and at Unchained. Joe Kelly, Dhruv Bansal, co-founders of Unchained. Thank you guys for joining us today for talking about your companies and sharing your expertise.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, we'll catch you guys next time.